right. Is everyone happy? Say amen. All right. I like happy people. I don't preach as long as you're happy. If not, I'm going to preach till you get happy. Amen. All righty. I want you to turn to Acts, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 4-8. Now, here's my subject matter today. I'm going to be speaking on inherent power. Now, the word inherent's not in your Bible, but there's a word that we're going to be talking about that inherit is a part of that definition. And so I think whenever you see it, just very quickly, you're going to have an understanding of something. Maybe, I hope you've not ever forgotten it, but if you have, I'm going to remind you of it, amen, of who you really are in Christ. All right, Acts chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 4. And let me say, it's good to have my brother Robert here and his wife. And Kim, good to see you. Amen. Appreciate you all coming. I listened to this carefully. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Now he's talking to his disciples. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Now let me just stop there quickly. The disciples kind of had a different agenda than what Jesus had. Jesus was about to share something with them that was going to be absolutely life-changing. And here they're asking, well, when will the kingdom of Israel be restored? And listen to what Jesus said to them. Well, basically he was saying to them, listen, don't bother with that. You don't need to know. That's the Father's business. But what he was about to announce was going to become their business and their responsibility. Verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, if he had just said Jerusalem, we would pretty well confine all this just to those that were in Jerusalem. But he said also in Judea. And then he said Samaria. But then he went beyond that. He made it worldwide by saying, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So this promise that was given was not only given to the disciples, it was given to all of us. This is talking about the birth of the church. Now, when we talk about the church, we're not talking about a building. And Pastor Jeff has brought that out many times in his sermons. He's talking about you. You are the church. Turn to someone and say, we are the church. Amen, because you are the church. And what he's saying in this is absolutely so powerful. I'd like for you to underline the word power and also the word witness. Now we're already there knowing it's for the uttermost parts of the earth. It's reached all the way to Choctaw, Oklahoma. Amen. Isn't that great? In this birthing of the church, they were going to receive power. That was going to be a part of it because the church could never be, that's you and I, we could never be what God has called us to be without the power. And then he says, with this power, you are to be what? You're to be witnesses. So as we look at this, a lot of people don't understand whenever it says and be witnesses. Often we think of being a witness as saying, okay, well, we'll tell someone about Jesus, about his death and his crucifixion, and we'll talk about his resurrection. But it goes deeper than that. Here's what the early church looked like, and this is what the church today should look like. The church is supposed to be a witness, a demonstration of who God is and his power. Now listen, I had to kind of back up when the Lord began to talk to me about this. I've talked a lot about through the years the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and who he is. And where he lives, within us through his omnipresence. But whenever I got to that word power and I was reading it, and then I began to check to see what all was in this power, speaking of inherent power, All of a sudden, it caused me to focus on something that I think to some degree the church has forgotten. And that is that we are to be a witness, a demonstration of who God is, who God really is. I mean, people say, well, he's someone in heaven. No, he's more than that. He's my God. He's your God. And the wonderful thing is that the Holy Spirit, through his omnipresence, dwells on the inside of us. Now listen, it gets a little bit better as we go on. You see, spiritual lives are not built on philosophy. How many know that? It's not built on your theology. It's not built on man's opinions. The church was built on the Word of God and on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can't find anywhere in God's Word where that's ever changed. It's still the same today. It's not going to be on man's wisdom or his theology or philosophy. And I can tell you that there's a lot of that's given all the time. Listen, without the inherent power of the Holy Spirit, you and I will never be able to comprehend nor accomplish what God has called us to do. And even if we had some comprehension, we'd never be able to do it in the absence of this inherent power. It was this inherent power of the Holy Spirit that made the early church in the book of Acts look the way it looked. It was a powerful church. How many believe that God wants the church today to be a powerful church? I believe that with all my heart, and sometimes I think we get so caught up in everything that's happening in the world. I mean, we're living in a time of what they call a pandemic crisis, and I'm very much aware of that. I know that you're aware of that. Because you turn the news on, that's all you hear. And I've restricted me and my wife from watching the U.S. news. Now, we'll watch the local news as far as the weather, but the rest of it, yet listen, you listen to that long enough, listen to man and his opinions and whatever, and you think that the world's, I mean, we're all gonna die. Listen, I'm not saying, listen, diseases are, they're deadly, we know that. A heart disease is, cancer is, influenza is, pneumonia is, the coronavirus is, and all that. But I can tell you this, I never go to bed at night thinking about that. Amen. And I never get up in the morning thinking about that. Amen. Because that's the world. I'm in this world, and it certainly can affect the lives of everyone that's here, but I'm not of this world. And when God began to speak to me about this, and I thought of this inherent power that's on the inside of us, I mean, it's bigger than anything that you could ever imagine. That's what causes me, and I know you've heard it 100 times, and I don't care. We need to hear it over and over again. That's why when I go to bed, I'm quoting the Word over my life and my family and my church, and when I get up in the morning, I'm doing the very same thing. I mean, just don't waste your time taking a shower and saying nothing. When you're taking a shower, you can speak the Word over your life. Amen. And watch God begin to move in your life. And so we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. Now, we've been given this inherent power. The Greek word for power in Acts 1:8, and most of you know this, the Greek word for it is dunamis. A lot of people don't know what that means, dunamis. There's the word power in your Bible that is not translated as dunamis. There's one that speaks of authority. There may be other words that speak in reference to certain situations and whatever, but the word here is dunamis. Now, what does dunamis mean? Here's what it means. It is an inherent, now listen to me, it's an inherent power capable of reproducing itself as a dynamo. Now that means that the power of God never runs out. So here you come for prayer, and I say, well, listen, I've already prayed for 20 people. Power's all gone. No, it never runs out. We may think it does, but it never runs out. It's ever present in our life. When I begin to focus in on it's ever present in our life. And listen to this. Here's what the definition is of inherent. It gets better. It's existing in someone or something as a permanent and inseparable element, quality, or attribute. It's on the inside of me. That's the reason why I get up in the morning and I can say what the Word of God says. I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No plague's going to come nigh my dwelling. He satisfies me with long life and shows me His salvation. Listen, we have protection. Amen. Well, we don't have to fear everything that's out there that's happening in the world today. And quit listening to those things that so captivate your attention that no longer do you think that you have any power. Holy Ghost power. Think about that. Now, in Luke 24:49, I had to add this to it. It says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem." Now listen to this. "Until you be endued with power from on high." And so I thought, okay, that word endued, let's look it up. The word endued means to be clothed with power. Do you see yourself that way? Turn to someone, whether you believe it or not, and say, I'm clothed with power. Now you need to say that long enough that you start believing it. You're clothed with power. I don't care where you go. It doesn't make any difference where you go. The power of God is on the inside of you. As born again children of God, when he founded the church in the book of Acts, the establishing of the church, he didn't establish a church that was powerless. He established one that was full of power, full of the Holy Ghost. You stop and think about that. I mean, to be endued with that, this is a promise of power, not just any power. This is power from on high. It's God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, why do we need the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need it so it can empower us to do that which we ourselves could never do. Listen, I couldn't heal a fly, but the power in God in me can. Amen. And I think a lot of people, they think the power's run out because you come down for prayer, we lay hands on you, and nothing happens immediately. I think there's an aspect of this that we haven't taught enough on, and that is not everyone's going to get healed immediately. But by faith, you can walk away from here and say, by faith, in God's word, I believe that I'm healed or that my needs are met. I've had people to say, well, I went down there, nothing happened. Well, I'm not saying anything has to, I mean, a miracle could happen immediately, but it doesn't mean that it's going to happen that way. But whenever you leave, what should you do? This is the teaching. What should you do when you leave? Every morning you get up confessing the word over your life and say, Heavenly Father, I believe on whatever the date was, I went down, they laid hands on me, and I believe by faith I received that time. I received what your word promises me, and you keep confessing that until the manifestation comes. Amen. I'm telling you, it works. I mean, I've been in this, you know, Christian since I was, 15 years of age, and been pastor here for 48 years. And you come to a place because of your knowledge of the Word of God that it seems like nothing happens immediately. You know what I mean? And so, you know, God holds us more responsible if we know the Word, and he holds us responsible to live the word. And so, I mean, there's been things I've prayed for concerning me that didn't happen immediately, but every morning I got up, every evening I went to bed, and during the day, if I had a pain somewhere, I just, you know, I confess what God's power can do and whatever, and one day I'd get up and think, hey, it's all gone. Amen. Amen? But I think we give up too easy. We don't realize that we've been clothed with this inherent power. It's not only on the inside of us, it's all over us. So we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what? To do that within us that we ourselves could never do. Acts 1:8, listen to this. It says we are to be witnesses. Witnesses. Whenever I kept reading that word, witnesses. Otherwise, we are to exemplify as a witness the power of God. It's not just a witness to say, hey, Jesus loves you. But to exemplify the very power of God. When they see it in you, and you don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be of the fivefold ministry, you don't have to be some, you know, great evangelist or whatever. As a born again child of God, this power resides on the inside of you. So the early Christians, they believed that. And after Pentecost, I get all excited whenever I start reading the book of Acts. It's one of my favorite books. I mean, all the Bible's my favorite. You know, people say, well, you just teaching the book of Revelation sounds like your favorite. Well, all of it's my favorite. But I like the book of Acts whenever it tells us a little bit about the birthing of the church. And then what happened almost immediately. You know, if you read about Peter, not so much John, but you read about Peter, Peter was a very impetuous person, you know, and had a little hard time, you know, with some of the things that we talk more about than we do what he did that was good. Like Christ, I'll never deny you. And yet we know he did three times before the cock crowed. And Jesus had told him that he would. But then after Pentecost, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, everything in his life changed. And so now we see him going through the gate called Beautiful. I can tell you, he went through that gate many times, but never had a consciousness of the lame man that was carried there every day, had been lame from his mother's womb, had never had a consciousness of the condition of that man. And no doubt the man was holding out his cup every time everyone came through. Give me alms, give me alms. But this time when he came through, he said to the man, he looked at him. All right, listen, the Holy Spirit will direct you in ways that are absolutely unimaginable whenever it comes to helping people. And that witness begins to manifest itself and it becomes exemplified in your life, and then it touches the life of another. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Well, what did he have? He didn't have any money, but he had the power of God that was on the inside of his life. Grabbed the man by the hand and lifted him up. The man ran and leaped and ran into the temple where they were going for prayer. Well, we can say, well, wait a minute, he didn't go to seminary. I call it cemetery. He didn't go to seminary, he didn't go to Bible school, didn't know. Listen, the Holy Ghost can do more in your life in 5 minutes than you can do in a lifetime if you'll just trust him. Amen. Our faith is to stand in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men. I want to read that to you. I want you to turn, if you would, please. It'll be up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. This is what the Apostle Paul said. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Don't stand in the wisdom. Listen, using the wisdom of men, we have tried everything that we can try to build churches, and it doesn't work. It's got to be done God's way. Our faith is not to stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And I said earlier, the Holy Spirit can do more in a short period of time than you could ever do. And here we're trying to do it all ourselves. And there are things we ought to do, things that he'll direct us to do. But don't worry about God's part. That's what the disciples were concerned about. Well, when is Israel, you know, when are they going to be delivered? When is this going to happen? When is the second coming going to take place and whatever? And it's like, hey, you don't worry about that. Don't even give thought to that. Give thought to the more important things. Amen. And often we're thinking about all the different things that are going on in the world today, and we can't change any of it by ourselves. Listen, I believe we ought to pray for our country. We ought to pray for our leaders. We ought to pray for all of these. And I know that we're in more than just a coronavirus pandemic. It's more than that, folks. It's going to take God. We was having a staff meeting and we like to find out where our people are at and whatever. And we were looking at what is the solution. You know, what is the solution to this whole thing? Well, we can come every Sunday and tell you how bad the fake news is and all the different things, the negatives, and what they're doing in the cities and all of this and tearing them up. But if you do that behind the pulpit every week, you're going to make those people conscious of what's happening out there rather than what ought to be happening in your heart and in your life and touching the hearts and lives of people that need God. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I know this has been a big subject and whatever. So how are we going to do it? We're going to come to church. We're going to preach about Jesus Christ and his saving power. We're going to preach about the power of God. We're going to teach about relationships, how we need to get close. The closer you get to God, the better this world will be. Amen. And I think we have all pretty much heard it all that I'm at. Some of you are on Facebook. I can't see if you're on it, but I've had people say they can see their friends on it. I think you have to have an iPhone to do that. I have an Android. But nonetheless, they're saying this is going to become a cashless society, you know. And they're going to give us a chip. And when it becomes cashless, you're going to have a chip. They're going to know exactly where you're at all the time. And not only that, but they're going to know how much money you got in the bank and what you're spending your money for and everything that you're doing and whatever. And then the time will come when you don't do what they want to. They're going to take and turn the chip off and take all your money. Well, if that ever happens, we won't be here, folks. I see you're already worried, aren't you? Listen, we can't be moved. I don't know what all they're going to do, but we can't be moved by this. I mean, you take during the time of Jesus and the disciples, it was during the Roman Empire, the rule and whatever. Not everything was just hunky-dory there at that time. And yet again, what were they doing? They were going from house to house, witnessing demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, people being born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit and their bodies healed and whatever. Listen, we've got to continue on with the gospel. Just the group that's here today, if we all do what we know we should be doing, Choctaw would be a better place to live. Amen. And then as that begins to happen, we need to reach out. There's people that we need, that we definitely need to touch. Listen, here's four ways the gospel needs to be represented. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says it better than I could ever say it. It says, "For our gospel came not unto us, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Four things here. All right, he said in word. Otherwise, we ought to be up here preaching the word, not preaching what's happening in the whole world and whatever. Preach the word. That's what's going to change the world. He didn't stop there. He said, empower. Empower means with anointing. I've made a statement. I've made this many, many times. But I found out here a while back that people really didn't understand what God was saying to me and then what I was saying to them. You've heard me make the statement that there was a time, and it was early in my ministry, there was a time where all I was doing was just preparing messages. Matter of fact, I'd get them out of a book other than the Bible. It's what someone else had preached or whatever. Now, it's all right to take an idea of someone that you may have, but you got to let God help you develop that into what he would want it to be. And so God spoke to me and he said, "I want you to quit preparing messages and I want you to start preparing you." Now, I've said that many times, but I've had people say, "Well, exactly what did you mean by that?" I meant this. I was preparing. Anyone can prepare a message. Anyone can. That doesn't mean they're going to preach it with power. You can't preach a message with power until you get it in you. Does that make sense? It's got to become revelation, rhema to you. It can't just be logos like, "Hey, someone else preaches, it sounds good." And so you read your message or maybe you memorize it and whatever. No, he said, you preach it in word. And then he said, in power, in anointing. Isaiah, 10:27? It tells us that it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Think about that. And he spoke to Israel on this because they had a tremendous yoke on them. But he said, it's the anointing. What was he doing? He was taking them from their thinking from the world and the oppression to a place, you need the anointing. It's the anointing that'll change everything. It's the anointing that we need. Boy, it'll purify this place. It'll touch hearts and lives. It'll bring about miracles that we've never imagined that could ever happen. So he said in word, preach the word, in power, with the anointing, in the Holy Ghost. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, we're helpless. And then he said, in much assurance. What does that mean? It means in faith. If you don't have assurance, you're not operating in faith. Well, I hope it happens. Maybe it'll happen. No. If God's word said it'll happen, I believe. It may not happen immediately, but I believe it's going to happen. And by faith, it's already mine. So in conclusion, we're not supposed to preach real long. But I just preach till I'm through. So in conclusion, let's just quickly look at what the power of the Holy Spirit will do for you. Are you interested in that? First of all, it's going to change your life. It's going to empower you like it did the disciples. It's going to give you a new perspective of life and ministry. I know Pastor spoke on perspective. We've got to change our perspective. Our perspective, we just come to church and we worship a little bit. We get up and we go home. Listen, the perspective's got to be greater than that. Every day, we need to be in the Word of God, studying it to the place that that Word becomes rhema to us. When it becomes rhema to you, you can preach it without any notes. And at the spur of the moment, God will use the rhema that's on the inside of you to touch someone's heart and someone's life. The Word's got to become rhema to you. If not, it's just words. That's why testimonies are so powerful whenever you bring God into the testimony of what God did in your life. And they become very powerful because it happened to you. It's a part of your life. You can tell them every detail of everything that happened even before you walk the aisle. I mean, I can tell you in my case, I stood there holding on to that pew and I looked down, my knuckles were all white because I was holding on so tight. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and I walked down. I didn't go down to the altar. I went to the in between the first and second pew and I knelt and gave my heart and life to the Lord. And God miraculously changed me. Old things passed away. I mean, you can ask my brother what kind of life that me and him lived. I mean, it wasn't like we was out doing drugs and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just saying that we was on our way to hell. All of our family thought that. They'd say, those boys are going to end up in jail. Well, God got a hold of us. Now, I didn't do all the stuff Robert did. He did go to jail one time. He's going to say, I wish I'd never come this morning. Just kind of a side note, and it's still early, so don't worry. We went down and our aunt had passed away in Stillwater, but they grew up close to Bremen, and that's where we had the grave service and whatever, just a memorial type service. But my aunt, she pretty well, before she died, she's 94, she kind of wrote out everything, the songs that were being played as a prelude and then who she wanted to do the service and many of the different things, how she wanted it done, whatever. And I was telling them, Robert and I are thinking about doing our own funeral. Because I can't trust what he'll say. If he doesn't, he can't trust me what I'll say. But I've been working on this. I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to get pictures together and video. And then I've been working on it. Like if you're watching this video, you know that I've passed. But I want you to know that I'm in heaven. I'm having a great time up here. And I'm sorry of all the responsibility I left behind that I didn't take care of. But you're going to have to take care of. Oh, and by the way, I spent all the inheritance. I mean, I got this thing worked out, folks. Well, we need to have a better perspective of life and what God wants to do in our life. It gives us a confidence of what we need for ministry. Now, you stop and think about that. Confidence that we need for ministry. There's a lot of people, I know pastors that really don't have a confidence. If God calls you, he's going to equip you. Here's some scripture I think will encourage you. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? It's in us. Who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Where's the working of his mighty power? Works through us. We're his vessels. God wants to use us. What about 2 Peter 1:3? According as his divine power had given unto us life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Listen, the biggest deficiency that Christians have, I believe, is a lack of confidence. And a lack of confidence is a lack of faith. You look at it however you want, but it's a lack of faith. Hebrews 10:35 says this, and I quote this often, cast not away your confidence that has great recompense of reward. Don't cast it away. And a lot of people do because of their confession. You've heard me quote this scripture many, many times, 18:21 in the book of Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I don't know about you, but I want to eat good fruit. So Margaret and I, we go around the house just speaking life to each other and whatever. And we turn the national news off. Amen. I'm not going to let it affect. Now, you don't have to do that. But if you don't do it, you're going to think about it a lot. Can I have an amen? I can see already you are unhappy that I mentioned that. Just watch the weather and only believe half of what you hear on the weather. I'll come home for lunch and Margaret's got Christian TV on and whatever, and there's a couple of ministers that I enjoy watching, so while I'm eating, I'll do that. Well, that's much more healthy than listen to what the world has to say. Listen, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life will give you that confidence. We need to live more in the Word than we do in the world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Listen, I believe God has some great things for us here at Bethel. I'm not discouraged about anything that is happening. Our congregation keeps growing from the standpoint. I mean, we were down to like maybe 40%, and we came up to, maybe 50% would be here today of what we maybe would normally have and whatever. It's going to keep coming back. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. God's doing something in the body of Christ. Quit worrying about the world and let's focus in. Let's pray for the world, but let's focus in what our responsibility is to God and know that the anointing and the power of God is going to work mightily in our life. Can you imagine if all of us go out and do what we should? I mean, you go down to Walmart and witness to someone. Don't argue about you got to wear a mask. Okay? Just go down. I carry my mask with me. If they require it, I put it on. I'm not going to argue with them about that. And then when you come out of the store, take it off and go home and be happy instead of making it such a huge issue, okay? Come on, stand with me. Well, it's 11:30, it's early. And I know we say we're only gonna keep you an hour, but I didn't promise you that. Listen, when God gets big in our life, you'll quit looking at the clock. Instead, you're going to look at what God wants to do in your life, and you'll be willing to stay however long we'd have to in order to see it happen. Amen? All right, bow your heads just for a moment. I don't know where everyone in the building stands today. It may be that everyone here is truly saved and born again. And if you are, that's a wonderful thing. But there may be some of you that are here today that are not Christians. And you say, Pastor, I've heard your message. And I've heard this about the Holy Spirit and His power, and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I want that for my life. I pray that you're hungering after that now, because that is the solution to life. It's the solution for happiness. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You won't find it in money. You won't find it in pleasure. You won't find it in recreation, but you'll find it in Jesus. So if you want to give your heart and your life to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. Step out from where you're at and just come here to the front. I'm going to meet you down here, and I'm going to pray a simple prayer with you as you give your heart and your life to Jesus. Would you do that? Step out and come. Amen. Now again, it may be that everyone here is a Christian. If you are, praise God for that. Maybe you're in a backslidden condition. You're not where you need to be with God. And you say, Pastor, I just need a renewing. I just want to know that I know that I know that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Because Jesus is coming. Amen. He's coming in rapturing power. When it's going to happen, we don't know. It may not even happen in our lifetime, but I look for him every day. So we need to prepare for that every day and make sure we're ready when he does come. Anyone quickly? All right, now I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. And as I was praying, I felt led to do this. Now that I've shared with you that you are clothed, you're endued, you're clothed, you have this inherent anointing and power on the inside of you. Those of you in this building that have something wrong with you, I don't care if it's a headache or, I care, but I mean, if it's a headache or maybe your heart's been bothering you or it's something else, a knee or a back, or with that power, that Holy Ghost power that's on the inside of you, you can lay hands on yourself. Amen. And the power of God that's on the inside of you can bring healing and restoration to your life. If you have a need this morning, a financial need, you can just lay your hand on your body and begin to thank God. As you have prayed, begin to thank God that all your needs are met according to his riches and glory. He'd have it, you'd prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I mean, just take the word of God and speak it over your life and watch God move.